Hello and welcome back to yet another very special episode of Wake Up and Smell the Miracles. I am your grateful host, Jonathan Nobby, reminding you that a miracle is not an exception to the rule. It is the natural order of things. When miracles don't happen, that's the exception. Allow yourself to begin to realize that you are miraculous. You are magical. Nothing is too good to be true. Nothing. Zero. Zip. It's all true. It's all for you. And I like to say that it's all on you. And just to bring in a little Wayne Dyer into this, I like to remind you to be like him when he said, "I am realistic. I expect miracles." Thank you for joining us on this very special Season 2 episode of Wake Up and Smell the Miracles. I am joined today by a phenomenal, incredible, super powerful man that I've been blessed to know for almost 10 years. We're sitting here at Prosperity Headquarters in beautiful Santa Barbara, California, overlooking the ocean. I'm sitting here with Matt Turner, also known as Save a Deep. Save a Deep, thank you so much for joining me on this beautiful day, at this beautiful occasion, at Wake Up and Smell the Miracles.
Great, thanks, brother. Yeah, it's always good to spend time with you, and yeah, I was really honored when you asked me to be part of the show. So I'm happy to be here and connect with you today, and see if we can spread some prosperity.
Let's spread it, man. Like, one of the things that we often talk about is a square of life: health, wealth, love, and self-expression, and I love bringing that to the surface on a way just to get people to wrap their minds around these four aspects. Very simple. You are a man that has brought prosperity to my life since we've met. And I say that because around 2010, you gave me a gift. This gift was called the Prosperity Bible. And I want you to share a little bit around how that came into your life and why you brought this book to a selective 6 or 8 people when you did. And then we can dive in. I see you as a person that is a catalyst for prosperity. You've really worked on that aspect of the square of life. And bringing you in here to chat a little bit about that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, prosperity has been a big part of my life, obviously. Here we are at Prosperity Headquarters. And that's really the message I like to share with people in all my work. But it came into my life about 10 years ago. I've been reflecting on this a lot as we're hitting the decade here when I discovered this book called The Prosperity Bible. At the time, I was going through a major shift in my sense of self and identity. I was changing my name legally in court. I had gone through a big shift and of exploration. I had moved across the country from Boston to Los Angeles and was like really discovering who I was for the first time again, and was felt this inspiration to change my last name. It wasn't something I ever grew up thinking I would ever do. I love my last name, Colantonio. I have a great Italian family. I love my family. But the name itself carried so much energy for me that I was looking to move from as far as stepping into the world and being a new version of myself. So as I was going through this process of changing my name, it was about 2 weeks before that I discovered the Prosperity Bible, which is a compilation of books about consciousness and the power of the mind. And so as I stepped into that new sense of self and that new identity and changed my name to Matt Turner, what happened for me was this book, because of its nature and what it was about, I decided at that time I was going to devote my life in the next year specifically to this book and carrying this book around with me every day. I mean, I carried it with me everywhere. It's 19 books on consciousness and the mind, and it's a huge book if you've ever seen it. So everywhere I'd go, people would stop me and ask me about it, and I loved talking about it because it was changing my life. It was changing my understanding of the mind and its role in our life, and specifically about how we have an operating system, just like a computer, that runs our life. And we experience the world as a byproduct of this operating system, and we filter the world through it. We have patterns and habits programmed into us, and we experience those every day of our lives, and each one of us is doing this. And so I was starting to discover this, and by reading this book, it was radically shifting the way I saw myself and life and everything around me. And you at the time, we were becoming friends, and I really needed to share this book with people, honestly. So I picked some of my closest friends, and you were one of them, And there was about, I think, 7 or 8 of us at the time. And I remember buying you all copies of this book because I needed to share it. I needed to discuss it. I needed people that I could kind of get involved in conversation with around these ideas. And, you know, here we are 10 years later, and it's radically shifted my life. Mm-hmm. But I do have fond memories of that experience of being on some of these calls and discussing these ideas with you for the first time. They were so new to me. And, it was just such a great, great experience for me. And hopefully it's you know, carried forth and helped you as well.
Carried forth very much. And as you're talking, I'm reflecting and realizing for the first time what type of initiative it took for you to have 19 books have such an impact on you that you didn't just tell people you got to go get it. You did. But then you decided to choose the 7 people closest to you, get them the book yourself, and then set up these calls and set up these initiatives for us to work on certain projects. That is powerful, if I may, you know, as I talk about superheroes all the time, is a powerful origin of your leadership. I'm sure that we all have that within us, and you definitely demonstrated it from when we first met in a direct sales company where you were my leader and you were teaching me things that I didn't know before, to moving outside of the world to want to affect people on a holistic level, on that square of life. And for you to do what you did and continue to do what you do, which we'll talk about a little bit later, I just want to give you a round of applause, you know, to not disrupt the microphone, a metaphorical round of applause, because it's not something I reflect on. You have, and this has impacted me, but to be able to hear that story and go back is such a beautiful experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't really know. Thank you for that. I appreciate the that acknowledgement and the round of applause for sure. I didn't know how big of a role in my life it would be at the time. I mean, at the time I was just going through such a shift. I saw this as a way to really anchor me in that and start to develop myself. And then how quickly it led to sharing it with others, like on that call, and then starting to teach it more and more and more. And now 10 years later, it's really become my whole life. Not only has this book and all the principles and the new operating system I've developed shifted my life, and now I'm teaching that operating system to other people, and it's my passion to spread these ideas in such a concrete way, because I've seen what it can do for me, I've seen what it can do for others, and I realize this is one of the key things that we're all engaged with every day. We're all engaged with a mental operating system, but most people don't know that's happening, and most people never go to the core of that operating system and learn how they can rewrite that system, and how that is actually the key, the underlying key to having new things in our life. It's not trying to change the external world. It's to get to the core of this operating system.
Here's my question. How did you get to the awareness of the way you wanted to step up in the world? When you were talking about your name and how you decided that it wasn't the vibration that you wanted to carry and the way that you wanted to show up, so you changed it from Colantonio to Turner. How does somebody get to that type of awareness? Because I get changing your name and legally, or starting to go by a different name, but the word you use is what makes me curious. Like, how do you know you're out there teaching this operating system, and how does somebody step into that world? Like, what was that for you? What was going on outside of the books that brought you to this place of awareness, really?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, at the time, like I said, I was shifting my identity, changing my name. It was a time of great uncertainty for me. Mm-hmm. And so when this book came in, it was a chance to rediscover self and kind of develop some new ideas and understandings. There were a couple other experiences after that really solidified it for me and allowed me to fully dive into creating a new operating system. And I had an out-of-body experience, a near-death experience, about a year or two after that. Mm-hmm. So my life had already started to change as a result of applying these ideas. Mm-hmm. I started to travel more. I started traveling with Tony Robbins, which was a major experience for me around the world, taking some really incredible trips. And my lifestyle started to change because I realized my thoughts not only mattered, but they were primary in my life and my belief systems. Mm-hmm. So I started working with those and drawing in all these cool experiences. But then the next phase of that was I had to go through a real major shift to let go of what I had drawn in so I could recreate freely. Mm-hmm. So it started when I went through a major breakup in a relationship where I was engaged and I thought I had my life all set up. externally, it looked great. I was enjoying my life. Everyone told me I was the happiest person they knew, but it was still built on top of an old operating system, and that's what I didn't know at the time. So I had to let go of all of that, and I got rid of everything. I left the relationship, the pets I had, the house I was living in, just the business I was running at the time. I mean, my idea of really what my life was, I had to let go of that and get back to kind of square one. And then I had this really radical, spontaneous experience. I was helping a dear friend go through a trauma, and helping my family had gathered around another relative of ours to help him with a tough situation, a health condition, and a life change. And I had a spontaneous experience where I hit my head and left my physical sense of self. I left my body and experienced myself as pure, formless light energy. So I had this very visceral experience of myself, what I call the spiritual self. Myself being formless, being energetic, being light, being energy, being vibration. And then I went back into my physical form, my physical self. And then I shifted again, and I went back into this state of formlessness, of light, of vibration, and stayed in this state. And what I experienced in that was what I call the clean slate now. It's a state of no mind, where I didn't have an operating system in that moment filtering any of my experiences. It was pure. It was without filter. Then when I entered back into the physical self again and opened my eyes, it was as if it was the first time. I saw everything totally new, understood the divine interconnection between all things and what's beneath the surface of everything we see with each other, with the world around us. My father took me to the beach. We were about a mile or two from the ocean, so I was pretty shooken up by this experience, and went to the beach, and I remember gazing out at the ocean, just as we are now, and just, I remember feeling and just, and saying, I am all of this. Like, I just viscerally knew that I'm part of it all. And so my sense of individuality had left me in that moment as well. And so what that did for me was it took things to a new level. I realized that the operating system I had been experiencing life with up until that moment was built on a fabric of beliefs I had been spoon-fed since birth. And we all experience our own version of that. And we all literally are walking around just like a computer, just like our iPhones, running an operating system that is how we experience the physical body, the physical self, through an operating system, just like you experience your phone through an operating system, whether it's an Android or I use an iOS, I have the iPhone. But the operating system is what actually allows me to experience the phone. Without without the operating system, I would just be holding this piece of hardware. I need the software to be able to use the phone. And then what I do is I install apps or programs onto that operating system. I choose the ones I want to use. Everyone chooses their own. And then you get each of those programs or applications adds new opportunities or new experiences available to you. But underneath it all is an operating system where you wouldn't be able to experience the body, the phone itself, or any of the things you want to experience as far as the apps without that operating system. And that's how we operate. We have our physical self. And we have things we want to learn, things we want to do, ways we want to experience the world, but we need an operating system, which is how the mind runs, in order to make that whole experience possible. Wow. So that experience for me gave me a sense of deeper clarity around that. It took me many years to really put that understanding fully in place, but as a result, I spent the next many years of my life designing a new operating system for myself, and that's what I like to help other people with. It's the most leveraged way I could teach other people the principles of this book is through that operating system.
You take something that could potentially be very complex and make it very simple. And it's exciting to hear you talk about that with that analogy. It's so simple. We all have a phone, and usually it's a smartphone. And I mean, our identities, in a sense, are also attached to this 3D world thing that we carry around. You know, it brings me to a question about identity. As you're talking, I feel this is what I got from your story. When you're in that formlessness, your identity is that everything, the nothingness and the everything. When you went to the oceans, like, I am that. Might there be a conflict integrating all of that when you're back in this physical form that needs to have a job, pay a bills, take care of the kids, marriage, all the stuff that comes with this human experience that we're in? Is there a space that makes makes it not scary. Because I feel I'm speaking for the audience, I'm projecting, like, you know, I get you, I'm right here with you. And I'm curious as if you have something around that scariness aspect of it. Because for me, it's not scary. For you, I know, like, it is you. Like, you are everything you're talking about. So tell me about identity. And what I visualized when you said, I saw three different identities. And how they can be integrated or merged when you're updating the software.
Yeah, it's a great question. And yes, there has been a lot, there was a lot of difficulty for me in this experience. In one capacity, it set me completely free because I realized the illusion of all experiences we have. So there was a sense of freedom there because I could see behind all of the seeming suffering and the pain I experienced or others experience. Mm-hmm. And I know that to be true, and it gave me that awareness. At the same time, I still had my operating system physically programmed into me that I was still dealing with. So it didn't completely in any way free me from the operating system that my physical self was running. So even though I had a grounded experience in my spiritual self and my awareness that is always present for me, I was still walking around dealing with the filtering and the patterns of my own physical self. So it was very challenging for me. It actually it kept me from really feeling like I could engage with others for a long time. I didn't know how to operate and interact with other people. I didn't know how to reintegrate myself back into society. So it was really challenging for me, and I didn't have a new operating system to now install that I could use. And that's why I've spent the last 10 years building my own, because I didn't have anything I could use. So I found a way to research spirituality, near-death experiences, consciousness, quantum physics, the mind. And I built something from the ground up based on what I could discover about how the world operates and how we operate as human beings and how our filtering works and how to reprogram that and different things. And I put that together, and that has allowed me to have a new life that reflects back from that operating system. So everything has shifted for me as a result of that. But it took me many years. So it wasn't easy by any means. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about teaching Prosperity OS, which is the operating system I teach people to use, because it's my best way to help others experience freedom in the mind and prosperity in life. I don't want to just tell people that they are running off of an operating system and then walk away and have them confused and not really knowing how to handle that. And I think that's what comes up for people when they start to realize some of these things. It's very confronting, and your sense of identity is attached to that. And that's one of the things that I learned from Tony Robbins, that we cling to most is really our sense of who we are. So when our sense of reality and sense of self is threatened, all defense mechanisms come up. We don't want to pay attention to that, because then we have to question everything we've been thinking our whole lives about who we are and why we're the way we are and why the way the world is. And even though there's freedom in that questioning, there's a lot of uncertainty in that questioning too. And unless you have a clear path to stepping into the new system, you're most likely going to find a way to avoid dealing with that and pretend it's not there in some way. And that's what I see a lot of people doing. They come across parts of ideas that bring this awareness to the forefront of their life, but they run from that. They hide from that. It's safer to go back to what they know than it is to step into some uncertainty. And so that's why I built this system, is I want to help people level up and step into a new sense of who they are, so they're not hanging out in this kind of middle zone of uncertainty, which I found myself in for a long time.
Gosh, that's such a great gift for you to be able to share with the world. Yeah, I came across something yesterday, a list of books that I was writing. There was a three-part series that I was writing. The second one, I believe, was So I Sparkle in the Sun, Now What? Basically, how we on the spiritual journey get to a certain point where we understand that we are this gift. We have abilities and skills, ways to help the world, but I know that for myself, I experienced walls. And it's just like, okay, great, I'm great at all these things. What do I do about it? To have somebody to walk you through that middle ground, I think is so important. And it sounds like that's what you're doing with what you're embarking on with the Prosperity OS.
Yeah, it's the most tangible way to help someone upgrade their own mind and operating system, the software. It's kind of like if you went into your phone right now and it said, update software. Like, hey, there's a new version of iOS out. My phone's telling me all the time. Every time Apple makes some updates, they push out to all the phones a new software update. And you can not update it, but after a while, your phone's going to run slow. Your phone's not going to open all the apps. It's going to shut down periodically. The battery might drain because it's running an outdated software.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like most people are running a software that they've been running since birth, mm-hmm. basically. They spent the first couple of years, first 2 years in a certain state of frequency. They went up. Your brain evolves in states of vibration and frequency over the years until you're about 18, and then it solidifies to the most waking conscious state we spend most of our lives in.
Mm-hmm.
So those first 18 years, you're phasing in programming mm-hmm. that you're building into your structure and your operating system and the way you're going to run and see the world and filter the world and the patterns you're going to operate on. Most people try to change that periodically by adding new apps. That's what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Most people never go back to the software.
Mm-hmm.
So they're never hitting that software update button.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because they don't have a system to update,
mm-hmm.
But they're never even reflecting on it or really trying to get to the core of that. So what I'm trying to do is basically introduce someone to the new operating system so they can hit that software update button
and
basically install this new operating system. And it's a complete operating system. That's why I designed it this way for myself first.
Are you saying it's not bits and pieces? It's a complete
operating system.
What?
It has 12 parts. Very simple.
Very valuable.
I walk people through a 12-part simple process of rewriting and installing an operating system that they now are using, and then they can make their own tweaks and updates along the way to that same structure, just like iOS updates. They're not pushing out, you know, ZOS. It's an iOS, but it's 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, 3.1, 3.2.
Mm-hmm.
They make tweaks. That's why they call it like a 3.1, 3.2, 3.3. Then they do a full update and they call it 4.0, whatever. I think it's at 11 or 12 now.
Mm-hmm.
So over the last 10, 15 years, they're up to a 12.0 or something like that right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is like iOS. It's Prosperity OS, and I'm going to make tweaks to it as I have for myself over time and put out new updates, but
mm-hmm.
it's really a new system someone can run off of, and then they can make their own updates along the way.
Okay. Well, as we're in the depths of everything that we're sharing and you're talking about Prosperity OS, instead of waiting for the very end to tell us a little bit more about it, why don't you tell us right now, what is this Prosperity iOS? I know you've mentioned it sprinkled throughout the conversation,
mm-hmm.
but if you have like a nice flavor and then direct our audience like where they can find more information on it, I think right now would be the perfect
time. Yeah, totally. Anyone listening can find it at prosperity.community,
mm-hmm.
which is the main website, and you can just click on the Prosperity iOS tab and find out more there.
Okay.
But I'll give you a brief understanding of what it is. So first, I just want to touch on the old operating system, because everyone, for the most part, is running off of a very similar core software.
Mm-hmm.
I call it Reality OS.
Mm.
So everyone has their own version of this, but it's just like you're installing different apps on your iPhone, but you're still running this basic Reality OS. And it's built on the idea that you're a physical being, mm-hmm. and that you were born one day, and that you exist in this current moment on the timeline of life, and that you're going to die someday. And your existence at that point is in question.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the core of it, and there's more to it, and I'm glad that you can see more if you go to the website. But ultimately, we then develop what's called our sense of ourself, and it's built on these four things.
Mm-hmm.
One is, we are our bodies, we are our names, we are our mind, and we are our story. And those four things build our sense of who we are. It's our physical self-identity, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they're unique to each of us. And then we have what's called our pillars of reality. Kind of like this building we're in right now, this house, has a structure to it. There's walls, there's doors, there's an underlying structure. But there's pillars to the way this structure is set up that hold the basic foundation. And everything else then kind of fills in from there.
Mm-hmm.
Our reality has similar pillars. So that's why I call it the pillars of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And there are five core ones and then a sixth one, which is kind of like a magnifier.
Okay.
So the core five pillars of reality are I am,
mm-hmm.
how we define that. The second one, God is, source is, whatever our idea for everything.
Mm-hmm.
How do we define that? The third one, people are. How do we define people and all the people around us? The fourth, the world is. How do we define the world? This is our basic outlook on the world. The fifth, life is. What is life? You know, is it a game or is it a battle? Or is it something in between?
Mm-hmm.
The way we define those five things become our pillars of reality.
Mm-hmm.
The sixth one, which is a magnifier, it's kind of like you're playing the lottery. You know, you try to get those five numbers right.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you want the jackpot, you got to get this sixth one. This
mm-hmm.
is the magnifier. And that one is money is.
Mm.
Money is. everyone has their own definition for money, and that can either allow flow, allow prosperity into your life or abundance, or it can leave you in a state of scarcity. Wow. You can be happy without getting that jackpot right. You can live a good life with the primary five, but you just might not have access to the things that you really want in life. You can tell yourself you don't want them, that's okay. But if you get that jackpot ball right, that's when you can really open up prosperity for yourself. So those are the six pillars of reality. That's Reality OS. Everybody is running their own version of that operating system. So that's what I'm trying to help people phase away from. And I was running my own for a long time. And that's why I built Prosperity OS, which is a 12-part system that walks people through a phase of rewriting everything in their life. And and there are 12. And I don't know if you want me to go through all 12 right now. I can walk through the 12. But that you can go to the website if you want to really dive in there and see it in detail and see what those 12 are. But it's very systematic. And it's very specific to why those 12 parts are there, because I don't want to leave people in kind of a zone of hanging out in some uncertainty. And like I said, I built it for myself first. So I figured out really what were the core pillars that would anchor this in my mind in a way that I could run off of it for the rest of my life and make tweaks along the way and live a prosperous life.
That's groovy.
I was taken back. I was experiencing you say that for the first time, but I was also taken back to the first time I saw you share that in a public setting with, I'm exaggerating, thousands of people taking notes at you speaking of this at a much earlier date, at a much earlier draft of what you're speaking of. And I love what you've, with the magnifier that you bring into the table here with that Reality OS. Like, it's, everything you said is so true, and I can't say that enough, and I'm sure that people can't resonate with that enough. If... And that in itself, those five pillars, the first five pillars are so confronting.
Oh, totally.
Just to put me in the space to be like, wait, you want me to answer those honestly?
You know, it's exactly. It's kind of tough and confronting to answer them honestly, because those pillars of our reality are so embedded in our subconscious. They literally were spoon-fed to us by our caregivers in infancy. As they're giving you your food, they're pointing to your body and telling you your name. And I've seen this happen. If you ever watch a newborn or an infant getting programmed by their parents, it's incredible. I have two nieces, so I've been hanging out with them a lot. And so I kind of see it firsthand. And I have, you know, a bunch of other children I've seen grow up. So I see this experience. And the newborn will be there, right? And they're trying to teach the newborn its name. So they're looking at it in the eyes, and the newborn's staring at them. So the spiritual self is right there. It's presence. It's our connection to the divine. The physical self is just being born and formed, right? So what they're really doing is programming the physical self to have some sort of sense of who it is. Usually, the people around an infant, they don't really have a firm understanding of their spiritual self themselves. So they can't really help that infant remain aware of their spiritual self. They end up programming it with their own definitions, their own beliefs, their own understanding of the world, right? So they're looking that infant in the eye, and they're touching its body, and they're saying, your name is Mary. You're Mary. And they're touching, or whatever the name is, you're touching the body, right? And that infant is absorbing that information. And they're looking at that person in the eye that totally loves them and who's trying to teach them how to be okay in the world and teach them who they are. And they're saying, you're Mary. And they're touching the body, and they're saying the name. So that infant is immediately making a connection in their operating system with, okay, my name, but they're saying I am. They're saying you are. They're not saying your name is. They're saying you're Mary, you're whatever, right? So that infant's saying, I'm Mary, and I'm this body. So I'm this body, and then I'm this name, right? That's getting locked, anchored in, right? Then they have this sense of their birthday, when they were born, really, which is they're being told, ultimately, you started existing then, usually, depending on the people brought it up. So you are this body, you are this mind, you started existing then, right? And ultimately, you're going to die. We don't know when, we don't know what happens then. And then they all have their own beliefs around that. So before we even have a chance to form our own operating system, we have that heart programmed into us. So when you say it's confronting to actually ask ourselves to answer the I am and the God is, all that, of course it is. Because that was heavily programmed into us since infancy. And then we were all walking around with our own definitions, our own pillars of our reality. And then, like I said, maybe we try to change those definitions along the way, but that's really like trying to change the apps, because you're not fully rewriting your operating system with an awareness of how you're running off of it. You're just trying to change your beliefs. That's cool, but you're not changing the operating system.
Bro, I just got a vision of having my phone Looking for a photo editing app, not liking it, not deleting that app, going to the app store, finding another photo editing one, not liking that one, not deleting it, then going to the app store, putting another. So now I have, let's say, seven of this similar type things that are kind of taking up the space, and there's no real clarity around which one to use. I mean, that's not just a hypothetical example. I have that example where it's like, I want the best editing stuff out there, but then I forgot which one was the best one, and I still have seven on there, which totally. creates disharmony and a little bit of chaos and a little bit of traffic, unnecessary traffic. Mm-hmm. So to actually take the time out to clean house on the phone and the operating system that you speak of is a very powerful tool.
Yeah, totally. I mean, think about, exactly, it's a great example, right? Because you have all these apps on your phone, right? You're using some of them, you're not using others. They're taking up space, it's draining the battery, mm-hmm. right? They might even be running in the background without you knowing it because you haven't checked the settings, and mm-hmm. that's how a lot of these things work, because they're just grabbing your info or they're refreshing themselves, and they're draining your battery, you're draining your energy. Yeah. So your mind's doing the same thing. It's built up programs over the years, maybe even trying to figure out the best version of God is, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe you studied mm-hmm. a bunch of different types of spirituality. Most people don't. They have something they grew up in. Maybe they accepted it. Maybe they rejected it. That becomes their outlook. But maybe you're someone that's explored spirituality. You looked into Judaism, Christianity, Hinduism. You've been downloading new apps mm-hmm. and testing them out to see if you can figure out the best one. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've settled on one. But maybe you have them all running because you started learning about all of them. You haven't really chosen one that you think fits for you. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have these mixed definitions in your life. Mm. And that definitely is creating a lack of clarity. It's draining your energy. It's not helping your life. It's not helping you run a smooth operating system.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds like conflict. That sounds like a house divided in two. And that's just no bueno.
Totally. It's like putting up walls in your own house that you don't use or don't serve a purpose. Because at first you thought the room should look this way. And then you decide you wanted to open it up more to the view. So you decide to put a little patio or a window over here. But you have three different designs going. You half built two of them and then you settled on one. But now you have these random windows and doors and walls in your house that you're just not really acknowledging. But sometimes when you go to walk out to take a look at the front, you see this wall there, and you walk around it, and you've learned to walk around that wall so you can see the view, but you probably should take the wall down.
Just take the wall down.
Take the wall down.
It's expensive. I mean, it'll take so much time. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. all these things, like, mm-hmm. they come up until they don't anymore.
And the tough part with the operating system, it's a little different than the phone, you can actually open your phone and see what apps are running. You can mm-hmm. delete them right now. With your belief systems and your consciousness and your subconscious, we don't have like a printout mm-hmm. of what that looks like. So we can't necessarily, it's not like we have a blueprint for a building where you can see every wall, you can see every door. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what a property is, a house, a building, or whatever. The architect builds a blueprint, mm-hmm. basically, and designs the entire thing. Mm-hmm. Then they give that blueprint to the builders, and they execute on that plan, and they build that structure, right? So we don't have that necessarily for the mind. That's what I'm helping people do with Prosperity OS, is design a master blueprint out of the operating system that they can use. But we don't have that right now for Reality OS. So knocking down the wall isn't necessarily so easy because you don't know the wall's there. Yeah. One of my favorite quotes from Saint Germain, who's one of my teachers / partners in a lot of my projects, is he says, the most insidious type of bondage is that in which the prisoner is unaware of their chains. Mm. So what does he mean by that? He means, being a prisoner, when you're locked up and you know you're locked up, that's one thing. But if you're walking around and you're a prisoner to your mind, but you can't see it, well, that's the most insidious type of bondage. Because mm-hmm. you're still in bondage to that, but you're not aware of it. You're not able to identify it, so you can't make a shift. You can't make a change so easily.
Yeah. Can you repeat that quote?
Yeah, the quote is, the most insidious type of bondage is that in which the prisoner is unaware of their chains. And most people are walking around as prisoners to their operating system, to their mind, and they're unaware of it, which is the most insidious type of bondage.
That's one of my favorite quotes in the world, ever. Thank you for that. And it brings me to there's this benefit that comes from having a team that do different parts that help you clean house, create this new structure. When you talk about the architect having the blueprints, the architect's the one drawing it up, right? But he's not the one building it. He's not the one tearing down the foundation or even finding the land to build this blueprint on. You know, it's most people, I feel, in our society, I know a lot of the people that I've talked through throughout the years feel like they have to do it alone. And even us, we went on this journey, and so much of what we've gone through to create what we're creating and the programs and the coaching and anything else that we're creating out in the world, it is because we had to go through, you know, just to minimize the example here, 19 books, figure out what the best parts are, how they integrated with ourselves to be able to come up with it. Like, we went through a university all these years to get to where we're at. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge benefit to having mentors and coaches and teachers. And this is what I see that you're doing here. Like, you're going to help people break through the old foundations and old structures that are just, you know, rotting. And I feel that this is, like, such a huge cause for where we are at on the planet right now. Mm. Like, this isn't some, like, little let's dabble anymore. Like, people are craving and seeking what you have to offer. That's why you're creating it. And one of our teachers early on was Bashar, who says that if you have an idea to create something, to sing, it's not some arbitrary idea. It means there's a reciprocal out there somewhere that needs to hear it from you. Not from somebody else, but from you. That is why you have that inspiration. And again, I mean, I'm a big fan of encouraging and congratulating my colleagues and my friends. I just congratulate you for taking the steps for creating something so important. Because with everything that's out there, I don't see anything close to what you've created and simplified for people to come in, you know, to the table and be like, oh, I like this on my plate. This is good. So,
Yeah, thanks for that. I appreciate that. I do feel like it's the time has come for this type of simple system to be introduced to people. Mm-hmm. You know, because for a while, like I said, I was teaching people a lot of these principles, and it was empowering for them, but I knew it wasn't completely empowering the way that I wanted it to be, because I hadn't got to the root of how to share both the experience I had when I experienced my spiritual self outside of the physical with that clean slate, mm-hmm. and then also what I was building for myself and was integrating. Mm-hmm. So what I really wanted to do was create something so simple, so tangible, absolutely anybody without a background in understanding the mind or psychology or spirituality or consciousness or even confronting death fully themselves and what that really does for us until we really confront the idea of death. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be able to introduce somebody that was to something that was so simple that they could just download it and apply it and integrate it into their own life. And so that's what this is. And I've been busy working on some of my own projects. I have several startups and companies that I'm working on and things that really bring me passion every day. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until not that long ago that I realized I wasn't fully fulfilled and expressed myself until I found a way to share this. Mm-hmm. I couldn't just walk away from this and not fully share it and just get too caught up in all the other things I'm doing that are so great. I needed to pass this on. So thanks for that reflection back about the need for it in the world.
I see you. I recognize you. And not a lot of people are willing to take the time, because I know you're busy. So I appreciate your time here on the podcast, and also the fact that you have other startups and you are serving the community. You still... And this is something that I really want to drill on for most people. They feel like, I have this passion, I have this thing, but I don't have time for it. Mm-hmm. The thing is the world needs it, and I don't want to put too much pressure on you, but there is always a way to find a way to get it out there, you know? And that's what I see you do, and this is how I see you as a role model and as somebody out there that people can model. I just said role model. So thank you for that. We're drawing this podcast to a close, and I want to encourage our audience and listeners to stay tuned for the episode right after this, where as a bonus, Savadeep and I are going to give you a little in-depth insight into the 19 classics within the Prosperity Bible. And until that episode, I'm going to pass this recording over to Savadeep. I want you to just tune in. You know, take a breath and share whatever is inspired to come through you. Please tell us again where we can find you, the website, if you're on any social medias where people can follow you, feel free to share that as well. But really, just I like to tell people to reach into their gut. This is however long it takes you, a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. Like, there's something in your heart that you were brought to this moment in time and space to share. and it may be nothing. So I pass the microphone over to you, my friend, and we'll close this out right after you share.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, you know, I think I've shared quite a bit today about what it is that's my message in the world right now. Prosperity OS is really what I want to share with others most. So I'd say if you're listening and you want to learn more about that, you can do two things. One is check out the website where you can learn all about Prosperity OS and the 12 parts of the system. The website is www.prosperity.community, so prosperity.community. And I am actually teaching a class on this, an online virtual class starting on June 17th. So if this is something you're interested in and you'd like to upgrade your operating system and have me walk you through these 12 parts of the system, you can be part of that class. It's very easy to register. You can do so right on the website. It starts on June 17th. It's an 8-week course that goes once a week. All episodes are recorded, so you can miss an episode or two if you have to, and you'll get all the episodes anyway through a recording. But what it's going to do for you is walk you through an understanding of the mind, walk you through 12 parts of a system that helps you rewrite your operating system very intentionally and specifically, and it leaves you with what I call the master blueprint for your own life. This will be a tangible blueprint for your life. Just as I was mentioning earlier, we don't have one for our Reality OS, so we can't really see the different beliefs and things we're using as an operating system and programs we're running. But you're going to have something like that for this operating system. You're going to create it yourself, and I'm going to walk you through the whole thing. But it's going to leave you with this tangible blueprint that you're going to be able to use as a reference to guide your life. You're going to be able to tweak it and upgrade it along the way as you change and you evolve and your desires change. But the main desire I have for you as an outcome is to experience full prosperity. And that's what we started the episode talking about, the square of life. It's simple, but at the core, we really all want the same things. We want health. We want great health. We want to feel great every day. We want to really just feel fully alive. We want wealth. We want abundance. We want to experience the best of the world. We want to experience the material world to the fullest and all the experiences we can have, whatever that is to us. We want to experience love, relationships, passion, intimacy, connection, whatever that means to you. We want some version of love in our life. And the fourth one is we want full self-expression. We want to be fully ourselves in the world. We don't want to just be part of ourselves and showing up a little bit here and putting ourselves in the back burner over here. We want to bring our full, complete self into the world around us. So those four things, that's the square of life. And this whole operating system is designed with that outcome, that you can have full prosperity and what they call the square complete, the game complete. It's to have those four things and then to keep growing and keep evolving and expanding those four things, not just getting it to a certain place and then having that be status quo. What this operating system does is it keeps you on the edge of excellence in whatever you're about. It keeps you pushing yourself and expanding that square. So if you're interested in learning more and being part of that course, check out the website, prosperity.community. You can register right online. There's a big discount going on right now if you enroll early. Not only that, actually, if you enroll right now, I'm offering a free gift to everyone that signs up. I'm actually going to buy you your own copy of the Prosperity Bible. That's a promotion that I'm running. And so if you sign up now, you get a discount. And I actually have a special promo for this community. If you sign up with a special promo code, which John can promote. What was the code that we set up for this?
The code is Navi.
Navi. N-A-V-I. Mm-hmm. And we'll double check that. Yeah. Check out that promo code Navi, and that will give you a 20% discount just for being part of this community here. And I really appreciate you for having me on and for everything you're doing in the world, spreading your message of positivity and magic and love and full self-expression. I mean, you're spreading the square of life in your own way. And so I thank you for having me on and allowing me to share that today.
Oh, yeah. So just a reminder, stay tuned for the next little bonus episode. We're going to talk about the Prosperity Bible, which Save a Deep is offering. So if you don't know anything about the Prosperity Bible besides everything we've talked about, stay tuned. This is going to give you a great insight and actually add a little anticipation, delight, and excitement to this gift that he is so generously is offering, which is, from a personal standpoint, just a life-changing gift. To go alongside with the program that he has created for you. Again, my name is Jonathan Navi. I've been your grateful host, and always here to remind you that a miracle is not an exception to the rule. It is the natural order of things. When miracles don't happen, that's the exception. Allow yourself to begin to realize that you are miraculous. You are magical. Nothing is too good to be true. Nothing, zero, zip. It's all true, and it's all for you. Again, thank you, Save a Deep, for joining us today, and we will see you, I will see you, on the next episode.
This is Jonathan Eleazar Navi, and I just want to thank you for tuning in and showing up for yourself. Every time you tune into the Wake Up and Smell the Miracles podcast, the messages are for you, and the impact is what you do with those messages and how you integrate them within yourself. If you feel that this podcast has brought value to you or could bring value to somebody that you love and care about, please send them to our Instagram page, Wake Up and Smell the Miracles. You can also find us at Luminous Navigation and for a roundtable for men to be seen, heard, understood, and to break through what new possibilities could look like. You can also find us at the Leading Man Initiative on Instagram. Feel free to send this episode or any of your favorite Wake Up episodes to anyone that you feel could benefit from the messages here. Remember to BYOM, bring your own magic. Until next time, have a phenomenal day.